Appendix C. Air Intelligence Preparation of the Battlefield. IPB is a systematic, continuous process of analyzing the threat and environment in a specific area. The commander uses the IPB process to understand the battlefield and the options it presents to friendly and threat forces. This appendix discusses the four steps in developing an air IPB. Define the operational environment, describe environmental effects on operations, evaluate the threat, and determine threat courses of action. Discussions are focused on the IPB for SHORAD forces. Step 1. Define the operational environment. An operational environment is a composite of the conditions, circumstances, and influences that affect the employment of capabilities and bear on the decisions of the commander, JP3O. Defining the operational environment results in the identification of significant characteristics that can affect friendly and threat operations, and any gaps in current intelligence holdings. During Step 1, the intelligence staff must identify those significant characteristics related to the mission variables of enemy, terrain, weather, and civil considerations that are relevant to the mission. The intelligence staff evaluate significant characteristics to identify gaps and initiate information collection. There are four sub-steps in defining the operational environment. Define the air defense AO. Define the air defense area of interest. Evaluate current operations, existing databases, and identify intelligence gaps, and initiate collection of information required to complete the IPB. A doctrinal area of operations is an operational area defined by a commander for land and maritime forces that should be large enough to accomplish their missions and protect their forces, JP3O. The Air Defense AO defines the area where the SHORAD commander can affect the battle with assigned weapon systems. The Air Defense AO is generally identical to the ground AO in width and depth and extends vertically to the maximum altitude capability of SHORAD systems. It may be much larger than the doctrinal AO for a commander, in that SHORAD sensors may project coverage well beyond the supported assets area. Such longer-range surveillance and detection capabilities are significant contributors to early warning and protection of the force. A doctrinal area of interest is that area of concern to the commander, including the area of influence, areas adjacent thereto, and extending into enemy territory, JP3O. The area of interest is the geographic area and the airspace above it from which information and intelligence assessments are required to facilitate planning or successful conduct of the commander's operation. Because the commander and staff need time to process information and plan and synchronize operations, the commander's area of interest is generally larger than the AO. It is also larger due to the great distances that air and missile systems can rapidly cover. The air area of interest will extend vertically to cover the maximum service ceilings or trajectories of aircraft, UASs, RAM, and missile systems. Horizontally, it will extend to cover the maximum range of aircraft, UASs, RAM, and missiles plus threat airfields, forward arming and refueling points, navigation aids, and missile sites. The area of interest extends to the limits from which information must be collected about enemy forces, which could affect friendly forces. In evaluating current operations and developing future plans, commanders must identify the types of friendly and threat information that will affect success or failure of said operation. Not all information will be available in the time allotted or to the degree required. Information gaps should be identified early and prioritized based on the commander's initial guidance and intent for intelligence and information collection. The intelligence team fills intelligence gaps by initiating collection operations through priority intelligence requirements, essential elements of friendly information, and requests for information. Information requests are processed and expedited to ensure required data is available as quickly and as complete as possible. The SHORAD battalion and the supported asset are generally the two primary sources of intelligence for SHORAD batteries and platoons. Other AMD units operating in the vicinity of SHORAD forces may provide relevant data on threat air elements and capabilities. Environmental effects on operation. SHORAD leaders and staffs must conduct an in-depth analysis of the effects of terrain and weather on the enemy and friendly forces to project how a threat may project its air forces and how SHORAD forces may be positioned to defeat them. Each potential air threat must be considered with respect to the AO and the area of interest. Terrain analysis. Terrain analysis in support of air defense is significantly different from terrain analysis for ground operations. The nature of airspace does not eliminate the need for terrain analysis because enemy air and friendly ADA will still attempt to use terrain to their own best advantage. IPB focuses on what impact the geographic factors have on the ability of threat air to approach, acquire, and engage a target, or deliver airborne or air assault troops. Analysis of the terrain for IPB follows the same principles as ground analysis and uses the military aspects of terrain observation and fields of fire, cover and concealment, obstacles and key terrain, observation and fields of fire. Observation and fields of fire relate to the influence of terrain on reconnaissance and target acquisition. In the IPB context, observation relates to optical and electronic line of sight. Many battlefield systems require line of sight to effectively operate or acquire and engage targets. These systems include radios, radars, jammers, direct fire weapons, and airborne and ground sensors, as well as SHORAD systems. Fields of fire relate to the terrain effects on weapon systems. Airspace must be analyzed with regard to routes, which provide the best protection for air threats entering the target area, and those which provide the best fields of fire once they reach the target area. Cover and concealment. Cover and concealment have slightly different applications with respect to air systems. The following tactics and techniques are considerations of cover and concealment. Contour flying is flying a constant altitude above ground level of less than 22.8 meters, 75 feet. This allows for maximum use of terrain masking. Pop-up tactics are the use of a low-altitude approach to the target area. Target acquisition and engagement is made by popping up in altitude at a predetermined position or time to minimize exposure. Masking is using terrain to protect an air system from visual and electronic observation or detection. Electromagnetic warfare supplements natural masking. Cover is using terrain to provide protection from direct fire weapon systems. Ground clutter can be characterized as a reduction of electromagnetic signal to noise ratio due to the signature of a background. It is different for each type of terrain or feature. Threat aircraft, especially attack helicopters, cruise missiles, and possibly even UASs, will use contour flying, masking, and ground clutter to avoid detection and to provide cover from direct fires. Aircraft will also use the terrain by loitering on reverse slopes, using pop-up tactics, and by using ground clutter and vegetation as a backdrop to enhance concealment. Obstacles. There are three primary types of obstacles: those which prevent the effective employment of ADA systems, those which restrict contour flight, those which force air threats to employ a particular surveillance or attack profile or route, or to gain excessive altitude. Of particular interest are obstacles and terrain which restrict lateral movement within an avenue of approach. This will canalize movement or restrict evasive action. Additionally, terrain may stop the employment of certain air threat systems if the terrain exceeds the system's maximum operating ceiling. Key terrain. Key terrain is any locality or area in which the seizure, retention, or control of it will afford a marked advantage to either combatant. In the aerial dimension, key terrain consists of terrain features which canalize or constrain air threat systems, and terrain with an elevation higher than the maximum ceiling of these systems. Additionally, areas that can be used for airfields, missile, and UAS launch sites, landing and drop zones, or forward arming and refueling points also need to be considered as key terrain, since these areas could be used to support friendly or threat air operations. Terrain can be used as an aid to navigation. Man-made features are also used as cues to navigate to targets. Air avenues of approach. Air avenues of approach are evaluated using the same criteria as for the ground. A good air avenue of approach will permit maneuver while providing terrain masking from surface to air weapon systems. Some common air avenues of approach are valleys, direct lines from the enemy point of origin, and riverbeds. Consider the following in determining air avenues of approach, both ingress and egress: type of air threat, attack profile, and ordnance. UASs are small and elusive. They usually fly low. Altitude can vary. Once in the target area, they may fly in orbit, attempting to stay out of engagement range of ADA. Most surface-launched cruise missiles are terrain-following, and they use terrain masking. Cruise missiles can fly indirect routes at low altitudes and can attack or surveil from any direction. Tactical air-to-surface missiles usually fly direct routes from launch platform to the target. Rotary wing aircraft primarily conduct contour flights. They follow ridgelines and military crests, using the terrain to mask their approach to the target area. Fixed-wing aircraft usually follow major terrain or man-made features. Depending on range, they may fly a straight line to the target. Ordnance or payload may affect range and altitude of the air system, and thus influence the selection of avenues of approach. RAM fly ballistic trajectories from the launch point to the objective. Air threat point of origin and ground control radar positions. When determining air avenues of approach, the staff looks at the commander's entire area of interest. Analysis begins at the threat airfield, or UAS, or missile launch site, and works toward the probable enemy objective. This allows a look at the big picture. The staff considers the range of the air systems and location of navigation aids and ground control sites. Probable threat objective. Each avenue of approach must end at a target, drop zone, or landing zone, or within reconnaissance, intelligence, surveillance, or target acquisition range of a target. Use a reverse IPB to select potential threat objectives. Potential to support maneuver forces. Air assets which are used to achieve ground objectives will seek to use air avenues of approach coincident with ground avenues of approach. Air assets attacking deep are not limited to these ground avenues. Missiles and reconnaissance, surveillance, and target acquisition UASs are not limited by ground corridors. Freedom to maneuver within the air avenue. Does the avenue canalize the air system? Have access to adjacent avenues? Provide the ability to acquire a target and use available munitions? Assist in navigation? Protection for the air system and pilot. Does the avenue provide terrain masking, cover, and concealment for the full use of air system speed? Protection against radar detection. Protection from air defense weapon systems and tactical air support. A standoff orbit location. A standoff orbit. Air threat and pilot capabilities. Can the air system or pilot perform contour flying? Fly at night. Fly in all weather conditions. Range the targets. Weather analysis. Air operations are especially susceptible to the effects of weather. Weather analysis for air and air defense operations is designed to predict the most likely time over target and other considerations based on weather effects and light data. Many of these considerations are the same factors the intelligence officers use for ground operations: visibility, obstruction, winds, precipitation, cloud cover, and high temperatures and humidity. Visibility has a significant impact on offensive air operations and reconnaissance, surveillance, and target acquisition. Visibility has the same effects on visually directed ADA systems and sensors. Obscuration, friendly smoke operations, and fires may have an impact on friendly air defense operations. ADA personnel should coordinate with chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear and fires personnel to ensure the likely impacts of smoke operations do not degrade ADA operations. ADA personnel must know when and where large-scale operations are planned. High winds will hinder maneuver, close air support, and target engagement, especially in tight air avenues of approach. Missiles and UASs will be adversely affected in performance and accuracy. Precipitation affects aircraft, missile, and UAS performance and reduces the effectiveness of sensors. Precipitation reduces ADA sensor range. Cloud cover and ceilings may restrict operations by setting low operational ceilings and restricting visibility and target engagement. Low ceilings, overcast, and clouds may restrict visually directed ADA weapons detection and acquisition ranges. Extreme temperature and humidity have a severe effect on aircraft and UASs by decreasing combat range, altitude, particularly rotary wing aircraft, and ordnance payloads. Rotary wing aircraft are particularly affected. Step 3. Evaluate the threat. Threat evaluation for air operations consists of a detailed study of enemy air capabilities, organization, and doctrine. There are three steps in evaluating the threat. Collect and analyze doctrinal threat data, analyze threat air capabilities, and conduct target evaluation. Collect and analyze doctrinal threat data. The following are typical questions which should be answered during this step. They must also include the commander's critical information requirements and priority intelligence requirements. What are the major strategic, operational, and tactical objectives of the enemy's air operations? Which objectives may be targeted for destruction or suppression? Where do friendly air defense assets fit into the enemy's objectives? Do they need to be destroyed or suppressed for the enemy plan to work? Answers to these two questions may result in modification to air avenues of approach. What is the enemy's air order of battle? How are the assets organized? Knowledge of threat organization and who has operational control will indicate the importance of the AO. For example, does the threat have mobile, fixed, or both types of launchers? Who has tactical control of aircraft at the point of attack? How will UASs be used? Attack, reconnaissance, surveillance, or battle damage assessment? What are the associated profiles? How does the enemy doctrinally attack? Will the enemy use airborne, air assault, or special operations forces in conjunction with an air or ground attack? What size are these forces, and to what depth are they used? Will the enemy synchronize the air attack? Does the enemy have the capability to coordinate an air attack, possibly with varied air platforms that can overmatch friendly air defense capabilities? What are air system combat ingress and egress speeds? Where are the potential missile and UAS launch points? What are the likely targets? What are the range, endurance, and profile of these systems? What are the doctrinal distances for forward arming and refueling points? How and where will the enemy attack ground targets for interdiction? At what altitude will the enemy approach the target, deliver munitions, and exit the target area? How does the enemy employ reconnaissance assets? How has the enemy historically fought? Analyze threat air capabilities. ADA intelligence officers evaluate a broad range of order of battle data and threat capabilities to include the ground force and electromagnetic warfare threats upon SHORAD units. They also evaluate the answers to the following questions with respect to fixed and rotary wing aircraft, UASs, RAM, and cruise missiles. The questions are not inclusive. They are representative of those that will provide relevant and timely threat information. What are the fixed and rotary wing aircraft capability to coordinate air-to-ground attacks? Capability to coordinate air and artillery operations? Are ground-forward air controllers used? Capability for suppression of friendly air defense? Performance, for example, speed, altitude, airfield restrictions, troop and weapon load capacity, endurance, range, and ingress and egress altitude and speed, levels of combat readiness, and sortie generation rate. Capability to conduct pop-up maneuvers. What is the standoff range? Target acquisition capability, night and adverse weather capability, and identification range. Typical ordnance load, maximum weight, type, load mixture, and level of sophistication. Navigational capability. Can it fly at night or in adverse conditions? Combat radius, with or without external tanks, ordnance, or location of staging bases? Expectant loiter time. How long will it have on station over the target area? Type, quantity, and quality of training the pilot received. Pilot's likelihood to conform to doctrine. Ability of pilots to fly at night or perform contour flying. During peacetime, did the pilot conduct the type of mission expected to be conducted during war? Type and capability of ordnance. Each type of ordnance should be evaluated for range, accuracy, release altitude. How high or low must the aircraft fly? Reload and refire time. Number of ordnance available. And guidance modes. How does the pilot acquire and engage? Does the ordnance need to acquire and guide? If so, how? What is the UAS? Performance, speed, altitude, and launch restrictions. Endurance and range? Contour flying or terrain limiting factors? Target acquisition and standoff range? Sensor package and payload, maximum weight, type, and load mixture? Loiter time. How long can the UAS stay on station? Visibility effects on acquisition? modes of recovery and turnaround time, real-time data link capability, guidance modes, ground-controlled and pre-programmed, crew proficiency. What is the RAM type? Performance, flight time, speed, altitude, and launch restrictions. Maximum and minimum lethal ranges. Warhead size. Accuracy. Burn time. Potential launch site or sites. Launch types. Stationary vehicle. Stationary site. Moving vehicle. What is the cruise missile? Performance. Flight time. Speed. Altitude. And launch restrictions. Maximum and minimum ranges. Accuracy. Targeting capability and type. Contour flying capability. Vulnerability to countermeasures. Guidance mode. Warhead type and size. Conduct target value evaluation. The target evaluation must determine what targets are to be labeled as high-value targets. High-value targets are assets the enemy or friendly commander has deemed as important for the successful accomplishment of the mission. High-value targets are determined by operational necessity and weapon system capability. Key questions that must be answered with respect to target value include criticality of each, impact of its loss on operations, vulnerability of each, recuperability of each, redundancy of capabilities, can other assets perform the mission or provide the capabilities? The responses to these questions will help in shaping the defense. The most critical assets will be defended with active and passive defense capabilities, while those of less criticality may be defended by passive defense measures and combined arms for air defense capabilities. Step 4. Determine the threat courses of action. To complete Step 4, determine both the threat air and ground COAs and integrate the results of the previous three steps into a meaningful conclusion. Given what threat air and missile forces prefer to do, and the effects of the operational environment, what are the enemy's likely objectives, and what COAs are available to the enemy? The intelligence officers develop enemy threat models that depict the threat's air and missile COAs. They also prepare event templates and matrices that focus information collection on identifying which COA the threat will likely execute. Situation templates are graphic depictions of expected threat dispositions should they adopt a particular COA. They usually depict the most critical point in the operation as agreed upon by the intelligence officers. However, the intelligence officers might prepare several templates representing different snapshots in time, starting with the initial threat array. The situation template integrates air attack and surveillance profiles with terrain. It focuses on specific air avenues of approach and mobility corridors to determine which avenues are the most capable of supporting specific attack techniques, profiles, and the most direct routes to landing and drop zones to protect and ensure the survivability of air threat systems. The event template is a guide for collection and reconnaissance and surveillance planning. It depicts NAIs, where the commander expects to see certain activities of tactical significance and is used to confirm or deny an enemy course of action. The NAIs are based on the terrain constraints of air approach routes to potential targets and analysis of the enemy's attack and reconnaissance, surveillance, and target acquisition profiles. The intelligence officers develop an event matrix to support the event template by providing details on the type of activity expected in each area, the times the area is expected to be active, and its relationship to other events on the battlefield. Examples of NAIs include landing and drop zones, forward arming and refueling points, forward staging areas, aerial choke points, and RAM and UAS launch points. The decision support template is an integrated staff product that results from the wargaming of potential friendly COAs. The decision support template is based on the situation and event templates, event matrix, and the wargaming of friendly COA results. It should depict air avenues of approach, airborne and air assault objectives, landing and drop zones, and the largest size enemy element which could be employed at the zone, ranges of enemy systems, ranges of friendly air defense systems, target areas of interest, decision points. Air target areas of interest and decision points are determined in the same manner as for ground operations. However, due to the high speeds of air systems, decision points must be placed significantly farther in advance of the target areas of interest.